Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
President Trump performed the coin flip before this weekend's Army-Navy football game. It's the first recorded instance of Trump intentionally letting go of money.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Representative Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Schiff also takes a few more questions from Late Night Sal Gentile and Henry Melcher. But first, a closer look.
As a new poll shows majority support for impeaching President Trump, Republicans are doing everything they can to rig the Senate trial in his favor. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. On Friday, the House Judiciary Committee approved two articles of impeachment against Trump, setting the stage for a vote of the full House this week. And as CNN reported, Trump is aggravated by the fact that he's about to become the third president in history to be impeached.
We are hearing President Trump is growing increasingly aggravated over the likelihood that he will be impeached. A Trump campaign advisor I spoke with earlier today told me simply the coverage bugs him.
I think bugs is ever the right word for Trump. He's never just bugged. He only has two modes, blind rage or spaced out. He's either screaming like he just ate a fistful of ghost peppers or looking straight down at the table like an eighth grader in detention. Trump's definitely more than bugged by the impeachment coverage. I mean, look at him. When he gets angry, he looks like the love child of the Hulk and an old beanbag chair full of farts. Also, Trump has made it pretty clear in his recent public statements that he's more than just bugged by impeachment, including at a rally last week and in the Oval Office on Friday, when he claimed that Democrats had somehow been trying to impeach him since before he announced that he was running for president back in 2015.
They can't win on Election Day, so they're pursuing an illegal, invalid, and unconstitutional bullshit impeachment.
And then they announced there was no buys. Now, you know what we're doing? And it's not easy. A regular president would have been under a table, thumb in the mouth, saying, take me home, mommy, this is too tough for me. I have to tell you, as bad as it is, it meant something. When you had serious high crimes and misdemeanors.
The impeachment is a hoax, it's a sham. It started a long time ago, probably before I came down the escalator with the future First Lady.
All right, first of all, what's with all the slurring, man? Trump's going to be the first president to get pulled over for a sobriety test in the middle of one of his rallies. Can you say the alphabet backwards? I can't say it forwards. Second, don't say, I came down the escalator like you were George Washington crossing the Delaware. It wasn't noble or cool. You rode an escalator to announce your campaign for president like you were at a Macy's looking for men's underwear.
I'm running for president. Also, where do you keep your dumpiest khakis?
Third and most important, you think Democrats were secretly plotting to impeach you before you announced that you were running for president? How'd that work? You think President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Nancy Pelosi were all in a secret room together saying, okay, you know that famously dumb game show host? You know, the one who spends most of his time yelling at Meatloaf? Well, he's about to ride an escalator down to announce his campaign, so here's our plan to bring him down. We're going to win the popular vote by 3 million votes, but then we'll lose the Electoral College because, you know, it's a dumb, antiquated system. And then we're going to wait 3 years until he calls the president of Ukraine and asks him to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, who will announce that he's running for president, and also Rudy Giuliani's going to go on TV and confess to everything. That's the plan. That is our plan. Actually, you know, the last part right there is probably the only thing they could have predicted right there. This is just the world we live in now. The president's a deranged conspiratorial lunatic who's fundamentally untethered from reality. In fact, on Friday, Trump lied and claimed that his poll numbers have actually gone up since impeachment began.
My poll numbers, as you know, have gone through the roof. The polls have gone through the roof for Trump because people, especially with independent voters, and especially in swing states, I could show you numbers that nobody has ever seen numbers like this before.
What are you talking about? We're getting numbers no one has ever seen?
11-teen, something called a Thrix. That's the first Thrix we've ever seen, you guys.
But we know Trump is lying because polls have consistently shown that about half of Americans want him at least impeached, if not removed from office altogether. Even a new Fox News poll over the weekend confirmed that, and it was a poll that surprised even Fox & Friends morning host Brian Kilmeade, who said this morning that he was stunned to see how high the number was.
In the latest Fox News poll, 50% of registered voters think the president should be impeached and removed from office, up 1 point since October. 4% think he should be impeached but not removed from office, and 41% do not think he should be impeached at all.
The Fox poll came out, and I was stunned by this. It says 50% of the country want the president impeached. I was stunned to see that that's the number because I thought that things were trending away.
Yeah, you know why you thought that? Because you only listen to Trump and you only watch Fox News. You're like a guy who works at Arby's who eats an actual burger for the first time and says, what? This burger doesn't taste like horse. When Kilmeade saw that poll, he was probably like, but I thought Trump's approval rating was up to 11-teen Thrix. That's what I heard. So Trump has clearly both been watching the impeachment coverage and also getting enraged about it, although he'd love for us to believe he's not. On Friday, for example, he insisted he was working on other more important issues, like a supposed trade deal he keeps claiming he's negotiating with China.
Mr. President, your reaction to the vote in the House Judiciary this morning?
Well, I was actually, believe it or not, finishing up the final, I was doing the final touches on the China deal.
I do not believe it. Also, if you do anything, it's not the final touches. They maybe let you help out in the beginning a little bit so you have ownership. You know, the way you let your toddler stir the frosting but not put the cake in the oven. So now that impeachment is almost certain to pass in the House, it'll move to the Senate for trial, where the senators themselves will act as jurors. And Republican senators who will act as those jurors are already on TV defending the president before the trial even begins. For example, there was Senator Rand Paul, who kept insisting in a contentious interview with CNN's Jake Tapper that Trump was just worried about corruption in general, even though several of Trump's closest associates have been arrested and jailed, and Paul just kept mindlessly repeating his talking points.
All of them have been convicted of federal crimes. You really think President Trump is concerned about rooting out corruption?
I think most of what you listed and most of the people that were indicted or convicted were alleged to have been part of some sort of huge Russian conspiracy.
I'm asking about President Trump and corruption. I just listed a number of close associates of President Trump's who are either in prison or facing sentencing.
But I think it's
sentencing.
Based on opinion. It's based on
these are sentences. These are criminal sentences. I just wanted to know, do you really think President Trump is concerned about corruption? Just a yes or no. Is that something you really
believe? Yes, I do. I think Ukraine has been one of the corruptest countries on earth.
That's not what I asked.
Russian-backed or Western-backed. All the governments of Ukraine have been corrupt.
He just kept ignoring the question. There's no way to break through with these guys. They just recite their pre-programmed lines. Anchors have to yell at them the way you yell at one of those automated customer service agents. Hello?
Thank you for calling Verizon. How can I help you?
Yeah, I want to cancel my service.
I heard. I want to upgrade my service.
No.
Is that correct?
No. I said I want to cancel.
I heard. Please add a second phone line to my account. Is that correct?
No, I want to cancel.
I heard. I love Verizon. Thank you. Goodbye.
The argument that Trump was just concerned about corruption in general is obviously absurd on its face. In fact, as we speak, Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, who's at the center of this whole scheme, is back in the U.S. from a trip to Ukraine where he was still digging up dirt on Trump's political rivals. And the Wall Street Journal reports that Rudy is still reporting directly to Trump. When he returned to New York last Saturday, the president called him as his plane was still taxiing down the runway. What did you get? Trump asked. More than you can imagine, Giuliani replied. He was loudly committing crimes on the plane as soon as the plane landed. At this point, whenever Rudy flies, the flight attendants are going to have to announce his Miranda rights. You are now free to use your mobile devices, and remember, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Not only are they continuing to cheat in the election as we speak, but they're also trying to cheat in the trial about the cheating. Remember, the Senate is supposed to be a fair and impartial jury, but both Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham have said explicitly their only goal is to end the trial as quickly as possible, call zero witnesses, and take their marching orders directly from the president himself.
I don't need any witnesses at all.
Okay, and then
I am ready to go. My goal is to end this as soon as possible for the good of the country.
I'm not trying to pretend to be a fair juror here.
Everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this.
They're supposed to be the jury, and they're literally going on TV admitting they're not going to be impartial and they're going to take their orders from the president. Only in the Senate can you openly brag that you're not pretending to be a fair jury. Lindsey Graham sounds like a dude who's just making stuff up to get out of jury duty. I can't serve on a jury. My grandma's sick, and I'm her caretaker, and I'm cat-sitting, and I live far away, and I don't speak English, and I'm biased against cops. This is the Republican Party of Trump. A party that sees any challenge to its power as illegitimate, that's fine with cheating to win elections, and that rigs trials to avoid consequences for that cheating. They don't care what they have to do to win, even if it involves cheating, and then defending that cheating by going on TV and spouting
bull.
This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest tonight represents California's 28th District in the House of Representatives and is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Please welcome back to the show, Representative Adam Schiff, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. A lot's changed since the last time you were here. You are a very recognizable person now, even more so than I think the last time you were here. And I feel like, as someone on the Intelligence Committee, and when you're this recognizable, that it kind of means at its core that something's gone wrong.
Yes, it can. It can.
Do you find that you're recognized more?
Oh, yes. In fact, I had a rather unusual experience on my way here tonight. I was on the phone with one of the major airlines trying to get back into my account because I couldn't remember the password.
Uh-huh.
So I finally get through.
You're
all
on the Intelligence Committee. I just remind you that.
It is a little scary.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
The password was so secret that not even I could
remember. Sure, right.
I'm on the phone. I finally get through all the voicemail hell, and I get this disembodied voice walking me through the login screens, whatever. And I'm entering a new security question. And the question is, what is your dog's name, your first dog's name? And I entered the dog's name, but it's too short. It won't accept it. So I say, won't accept my dog's name. So the voice says, try impeach. And I said, what? And he says, try impeach. And I said, I thought that's what you said. I was trying to be very professional, but I couldn't help. I said, I'm not going to use that as the dog's name. Yes. So even
your voice on the phone with a major airline, they know who you are now.
They apparently do.
They apparently know who you are. I think one of the things, obviously, the Latin term we're all familiar with now is quid pro quo. We even had, during some of the testimony, Gordon Sondland basically laid it out. This is a Trump appointee. He said, yes, there was a quid pro quo. And yet a lot of the Republicans, most of the Republicans in the committee, still continue to say there was no quid pro quo, that it is clear as day, as some would say there is. It is just as clear to them that there isn't. Do you think they at their core believe this, or is this just a gaslighting maneuver to let their base, let the president know that they have their backs in this?
Mostly the latter. I don't think they really believe this. And we had exactly that phenomenon where we had Sondland testify. He quite clearly said, most people want to reduce this to a simple question. Well, if you do, the answer is yes, there was a quid pro quo.
And should we know that, I believe, was in his opening statement. That was something that he just offered up.
Yes. Nonetheless, Republican members walked out of that very hearing saying, see, he said no quid pro quo. And you listen to that and you think, okay, were you in the same room that I was in? Because he very clearly said that's exactly what happened here. And not only that, everyone was in the loop. And what's more, these were the orders from the president on down. Rudy Giuliani, acting as his agent, was implementing essentially this scheme to condition the White House meeting, and then later $400 million in military aid to help the president coerce Ukraine into basically cheating for him in the next election. It's rare to have a case this strong, this unequivocal, this overwhelming. And the astonishing thing about it is normally a complex white-collar crime case like this, and that's what this is analogous to, is very document-driven. But here, because the White House said you get to see no documents, we were able to make the case with these career public servants who did their duty, who came and testified, suffered the insults and the attacks. And because of their patriotism, we know the truth. And the truth is the president of the United States tried to shake down an ally to help him cheat in the next election.
These were, so many of these public servants either served under both presidents or were appointees of a Republican administration. Were you surprised as it went on how quickly they were attacked for being, never Trumpers was certainly the term that was used the most. Were you surprised that your colleagues across the aisle were so quick to attack them for that?
I had the usual sensation we have in the era of Trump, which is you're shocked on the one hand, you're not surprised on the other.
Yeah, that's about where I feel every night. Yeah. You've and described it well.
So, here you had people like Bill Taylor, who, as his testimony revealed, graduated top of his class at West Point. He chooses to go to Vietnam during the height of the war. And I loved when he was asked, because he's so self-effacing, you got some distinctions while you served in combat. He says, well, the one I'm most proud of is the combat infantryman's badge. I also got a Bronze Star, but, the one I really care about. This is a guy who is basically downplaying a Bronze Star.
Sure.
And this is a guy they're attacking. Colonel Vindman got a Purple Heart. They're attacking him. Ambassador Yovanovitch had dangerous posts around the world. They're attacking her. There is nothing beyond their willingness to debase themselves for this president. I keep making the point, what are you going to tell your grandkids when they ask you what you did while this awful man was in office to stand up to him? And
he doesn't like you.
I get that impression.
I don't know if you know that, yeah. And a lot of the Judiciary Committee, a lot of the Republicans there, they actually felt that you had a right to be there and you had a right to answer questions. And we've referenced the fact that they have terrible props, but this was a poster board of you on the side of a milk because you were missing. Now, of course, you weren't missing. You just were not. There was no reason for you to be there, and yet they frame it as though you're sort of hiding, somewhere in Congress because you're too afraid to go in front of this. Is this been strange to watch them use you as a prop being a colleague of theirs, even though of a different party?
Well, I mean, the reason is because this is what Trump wanted. So Trump is tweeting out, you know, he should be a witness, he should be a witness, and they will do whatever the president asks. One of my colleagues said, we're going to get you a T-shirt that says, I'm right here,
yeah,
that you can wear on the House floor and just point to it. But, you know, my favorite sign, frankly, was one a couple days earlier that said, it's been 0 days since Adam Schiff followed the rules, which meant that I was constantly following the rules.
Yeah.
Finally an accurate sign. But my staff would always say, did you see the signs or whatever today? And actually, I never paid attention to the signs. So,
yeah.
You know, I just tried to keep my focus.
That means the signs aren't working. The whole reason you make signs is for people to see them. I do want to ask this as well. I've been asking people, do you think Trump is a worse client or Rudy Giuliani is a worse lawyer? Where do you come out on that?
Well, this is a very difficult question.
It is, right?
This is
a question that, like, in order to get, like, over a bridge, like a troll would ask you.
Like, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that Rudy Giuliani is perhaps the worst lawyer that anyone could have.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I would point to this which just came out within the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In The New Yorker, Giuliani quoted as saying, we had to get rid of Yovanovitch,
yep,
this courageous former ambassador to Ukraine, because she was going to get in the way of these investigations. I mean, it was just another full-throated confession. And so I don't know what kind of malpractice that is, but nonetheless, you know, on a serious note, what he has admitted, what the president has admitted, when the president is out on the White House lawn and he's asked, what did you want on that phone call? When the president, in his own words, asked for this favor, the Ukraine president brings up, we need more military help. And the president said, but I have a favor, though. What did you want him to do? And the president says, well, if we're being honest about it, there's a simple answer. He should investigate the Bidens. And it was interesting because he was asked about what did you want at the time, but his answer was what he wants right now. He still wants an investigation of the Bidens.
Yeah.
And if not by Ukraine, then by China. And this was why we felt an imperative to move forward with the articles of impeachment that we did, because the threat is ongoing. The plot has never stopped. His efforts to get foreign countries to help him cheat in the next election are a continuing threat to our democracy. But he continues, and his lawyer continues, to make the case for his own removal.
And yet, obviously, we're in a situation, based on what would have to happen in the Senate, it is very unlikely that he is going to be voted to be impeached and out of office. You mentioned, like, this is something where you're going to say to your grandkids what you did in this moment. Do you feel as though, you know, if the outcome is what can be expected, which is he's not going to leave office from this, has it been worth it to impeach him in the House, which obviously will happen on Wednesday? Again, if they were senators, we'd be in a whole different situation right now.
The answer is yes. And I say that, and this, you know, I was someone who was reluctant to go down this road. But two things changed my mind. The first was this latest misconduct involving this shakedown of a country at war. And a shakedown that damages our own national security was just a bridge too far. But also, it was the issue of timing. The day after Bob Mueller testified, the day after he talked about Russia's interference in our last election, how they might interfere in the next election, Trump believes it's finally over. And the next day, he's on the phone with Zelensky, asking for yet another country to intervene in yet another election. That said to me, this president believes he is above the law, accountable to no one, can't be indicted. He's got his Roy Cohn and Bill Barr at the Justice Department. Can't be impeached. He is utterly beyond any form of accountability. That is too dangerous a situation to go unchallenged. And so we do what we must. The fact that the Republicans may or may not honor their constitutional duty doesn't mean that we relinquish our own.
All right. Thanks so much for being here. That's Adam Schiff. If you see him, call the side of the middle.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night.
And this is Sal from Late Night.
And we're here with Congressman Adam Schiff. This is incredible. This is so exciting to see you. We've seen you on TV so much frequently. It's wonderful to have you
and
here.
And now
in the
to
studio.
Be here, I feel like I'm in the hot seat. Almost.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm going to be asking the questions around here this time.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you is the House will vote to impeach likely on Wednesday, recording this Monday. Then, of course, moves to the Senate. And, you know, this was in closer look today that we've seen senators like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell say that they're not interested in a fair trial. Lindsey Graham saying he's not going to pretend to be a fair juror. He won't even pretend. Mitch McConnell said he's just going to toe the Trump line. You're a former prosecutor. Would you allow these people on a jury?
Of course not. And it really does take your breath away. And it shows just how much the country, or the GOP at least, has moved in the direction of becoming a cult of personality around the president, that you would have, you know, chairs of committees, the Republican leader in the Senate, basically saying, we're in cahoots with the White House. We're going to do whatever the president wants. If the president wants no trial, he'll get no trial. Basically, we've made up our minds. And, you know, to see other senators that you would hope would show greater impartiality, express the view, we don't necessarily want to hear from witnesses. We don't necessarily want to see the documents. I hope that there are others who will speak out, do their constitutional duty, because this looks like a wholesale abdication of their oath of office.
There is at least one person who they seem somewhat, I think, probably short-sightedly interested in inviting to testify, and that is Rudy Giuliani. Lindsey Graham has expressed some amount of interest in that. I'd like to ask you, just from your perspective, how badly would you have liked to be able to interview Rudy Giuliani?
Well, we subpoenaed Giuliani for his documents, yeah. And of course he refused. The documents may be far more revealing than what someone like Giuliani might say. Although, frankly, even outside of any cross-examination, he's saying plenty.
Yeah.
You know, his comments that were just quoted today about why he had to get rid of Ambassador Yovanovitch because she was going to get in the way of these investigations. I mean, I don't know that you would get that kind of testimony if you had him on the stand, but he seems to be volunteering it. But, you know, they're brazen about it. They're brazen. They really seem to make no bones. And it's this weird collision between the president and his lawyer saying, yes, we did it, we'll do it again, and Republicans who just, you know, thus far are looking the other way, pretending they don't hear, pretending they don't see. It's a, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, do lots of evil kind of a philosophy. But yeah, it is so striking. I don't know, though, if I had to choose between documents or testimony with Giuliani, the documents may be more revealing.
Well, with him, you could always get both. He might just show up and hold up his phone and show you the phone records of the conversations he's had with the State Department directing him to engage in a vast extortion scheme.
I mean, that is true.
Do you think the brazenness, perhaps, I mean, the answer to this is probably no, but do you think perhaps it is a strategy of just putting it all out there, that these things can't be that bad, otherwise they wouldn't have said them publicly over and over?
You know, I think they have, you know, sort of floated, tested this defense. And the most vivid example was Mick Mulvaney going out on camera and saying, yes, the 2016 investigation was something we discussed. That's part of the reason we held up the money. And then he's asked by a reporter, okay, so you're admitting to a quid pro quo? You know, this happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Get over it. Now, that didn't work out so well because people were not willing to get over it. And the president, you know, apparently forced him to at least try to walk that back. But you can't walk that back. But I do think that has been, at least intermittently, because they haven't had a consistent strategy all along, part of the defense, which is, okay, yeah, we fully admit we're going to do it. We did it. We're going to do it again. I dare you to stop us.
I imagine you can't say much about this, but what is lunch break like at the House Intelligence Committee?
Well, you know, it used to be until fairly recently, and I don't know that I can say this about the members of the committee, but other Republicans would pass me in the hall and they would say in a hushed tone, keep doing what you're doing, and acknowledge it had to be done. And this doesn't necessarily refer to impeachment, but the investigative work we're doing, even if they couldn't say so themselves, that it had to be done. But honestly, the private misgivings are worth nothing. Mm-hmm. People need to speak out. They need to vote their conscience. Yeah. I don't have much use for private misgivings anymore.
Yeah, you hear a lot of these sort of like unsubstantiated and unnamed whispers that are repeated in various outlets of like, privately, Republicans are very concerned about the president's behavior. But then
since day one,
publicly, they're vociferously, as we noted in a closer look today, I mean, they don't even respond to questions anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no good faith exchange of, and this was in the hearing, people would ask, raise your hands if you think this is a good idea. And they just, raise your hands if you think this phone call was perfect in a Judiciary Committee hearing. And the Republicans, nobody even reacted to it. They're not even engaging in a good faith effort to say, here's why I think what the president did was good or bad or XYZ. They just are completely walling themselves off from reality.
That's exactly right. You know, there was a interview on CNN where Manaraju asked Collins, the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, well, do you think this is okay? Do you think it was okay for the president to ask for this investigation of the Bidens? And then he went off like an auctioneer about a whole range of other complete non sequiturs. And, you know, the reporter tried to bring him back. No, that was my question. My question is, do you think it was appropriate to ask for this investigation of the Bidens? Well, he didn't do that. Well, actually, it's right there in the call record. Yes, he did. Yeah. It's the most incredible denial of reality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, apparently that's what happens when the party becomes a cult. The president can do no wrong. The cult leader can do no wrong. They're, I guess, desperately worried about being punished by his base or the president and angry tweets if they step out of line. And the president, you know, shrewdly has cut anybody off the kneecaps who departs from the Trumpian orthodoxy. But that really puts the Republic at risk.
Well, thank you for the work you are doing to keep the Republic whole, I guess, to protect the Republic. Yes. We really do appreciate the work you're doing.
Can I tell you right back at you, because you not only provide important information to people watching your show. I mean, I'm really impressed with just how, you know, detailed, factual, into the weeds of all of this that you have been. But also, you make us laugh, which the country desperately needs right now. I think I said before when I was on Seth's program, you know, thank God for you and late night comedy, or we'd be all going mad right now. There are a lot of people who get their news from you all, and you do such a good job of laying it out and keeping it entertaining. And for people who, you know, don't spend their day watching hearings from morning till night, it's a valuable service and most invaluable because you make us laugh at the same time.
Well, it's funny you say that because it's cathartic for us. I mean, if I weren't writing it down, I'd be walking around in a park mumbling it to strangers.
And so
it's
better walk around our office I do also
gesticulate very wildly, mumbling. I think mumbling is probably gentle. It's probably louder than mumbling. But I'd be in a park doing that, and instead I get to write it down, and we get to cathartically talk about it and process it that way. So I'm glad it's providing a service as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You so
thank
much.
You for the work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.